I just wanted to start off with those basic points about Tisha B'Av. I mean, the basic idea is that Torah line Moed. But what is the concept of Moed? I mean, this is not really, if this was supposed to be a Moed, I mean, it would be in the Torah. It would be one of the Moedos. But really, this is, it's a Moed, but it's not a not a legitimate Moed, not an intrinsic Moed. True, the Navi calls it a Moed, but the idea of a Moed is, of course, the concept is that eventually it'll be a Yom Sefer with a Simcha, like the Navi and Zechariah. But the concept of Moed, it's a Moed because of our Hatoya. Not a the Moadim in the Torah are Moadim because they have intrinsically it's a Moed. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu determined that it's a Moed, and it has an intrinsic value as a time where there's a meeting between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak. But this Moed came about in very tragically. It's a Moed because of our weakness. We created this Moed. But even though it's because of our weakness and our Hatayim, but nevertheless, the Navi does say that it has the value of a Moed. That's why they don't say Tachin. It has the value of a Moed. But unfortunately, but nevertheless, it has the value of Moed. What is the value of a Moed? What is the concept of a Moed over here? The concept of a Moed is that Lost in Lovo, it'll be. They have a special meaning to call Yisrael in their relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the idea of Moed. The Moed that we didn't want, we wouldn't want such a Moed, but nevertheless, the Chas Be Hashem is such that even though we reduced ourselves to a very low level and we went away from the Be'er Hashem, but nevertheless, this day is a day that will be the cause, eventually, it's the cause of a relationship between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's in that sense, it's a Moed. So it means that from whatever we do on this day, what we're supposed to do on this day, will eventuate a Zman of a relationship between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the idea. That's the concept of Moed on our mission. So the nature of the day is very important, because the nature of the day is such that it's a day of Korban and Avelis. But from this day of Korban and Avelis, if we listen carefully to the advice of the Navi and follow the prescriptions for this day, so eventually we can have a return of the Ashura Shechina on Klal Yisrael. So it's a very important day. It's a day with a very specific formula that's extremely important to us. It's the only formula, the only chance we have to follow this formula properly, to resurrect, to reconstruct, reestablish the relationship between our HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. So we have to heed carefully be committed very strongly to the formula of this day. The formula of this day was really set out by the Nevi'im. And their ideas are the basis for the for this Moed. Yeah, just let me start off before we get into the some of the main ideas in nothing, essentially in Megillah of Kinos, which is Eicha. That's from the Megillah of Kinos. All the ideas, all the essential ideas are included in that Eicha, essential ideas. Now, first, I just want to mention, as a matter of halacha, what is unusual about this day halacha? Notice certain things that are unusual. Like, for instance, the halacha is that, notice that we don't say teshkabel. But you don't say, but after Ma'ariv, you say teshkabel. It only starts from the time of kinnis, from the time of start saying kinnis. And then later in Mincha, you say teshkabel. So you see immediately there's a difference in the day itself. I mean, that's a strange thing in Allah. Allah's day is uniform in Allah. You don't have, it's not segmented. But here you have a kind of day which has different expressions. Allah, even the Allah changes. During the day. That's just one small aspect of it. But you see, there's another one, well-known one, with regard to Nachem. So what is Nachem? Say two things in Mishnah. They are Aneinu and Nachem. So Aneinu is really still the tiny. Aneinu is saying any tiny. Even a Yochavet Nachana says Aneinu. But Nachem is really the Me'ein HaMa'ora of it. Day is a special day. It's Torah Lein Moed, and it has a special tefillah that's a Me'ein HaMa'orah. Just like you have Yalav Yavo on Yom Tov, so you have Nachem on Tisha B'Av. Nachem is the Me'ein HaMa'orah. But Nachem, as the way we say Nachem, it's a very strange thing, because we only say it in Mincha. And the reason why we say Aneinu and Mincha, really, the Aneinu should be said in all the schools, but that's different, because maybe the person will not be able to be finished the time. But the Shach says Aneinu and Shachar, the Tzibur is going to finish. But with regard to Nachem, you see, even the Shach doesn't say Nachem. It's a big problem. The one that raised the question was the Rush. The Rush says, the Torah brings it, Siman Tuf Kufrin Zion. He says, Kol Yomai Tmihesim. Lomai Yomasa Elab Tzilcha Mincha. Even the Kamrinan, Yochid Betisha Ba'a Tzorach Lahashkir Me'ena Ma'ara, the Sama B'chol Tzilosof Koma. Ma'arva Shachas Mincha. Actually, the Rambam would appear from the Rambam. Rambam said it all from time. But he didn't say Nachem, he changed the Lashon, a different Lashon. He said Rachem. But if you take a look at the Beis Yosef, the Rosh didn't have any answer. But the Beis Yosef brings down that it's a Machlekes. Machlekes, he says. That, he says, the Kol Bei Kosav, the B'chol Tzim of Tisha B'av Armam Osra. Avalor Teachos name is Paul Nachem Birishleim Elabim Minchas Tisha. And then it turns out that he says it's Machlokes between Rav Amram Goyin and Rav Sadia Goyin. And he says the minig was Pasha Kedivrei Rabbeinu Sadia. She'eino Omo So Ela Ben Mincha. Eino Omo So Ela Ben Mincha. That's our minig verse. He only said Mincha. Because the Nir Elisha Tam Rabbeinu Sadia Mishum De La'eish Erev Yitzisu Bo'eish Hilkach Ba'osa Shoa Maskirin Shiflus Yerushalayim Vavilel, and the Spalim El Kanchel Mel. He gives a funny reason. I mean, he says, because Leis Mincha, again, it's something that you don't have in any other yom. Any other yom, the whole day is Mincha. You don't go by what happened, you don't go by the hours. Over here, it seems it depends on the hours of the day, the time of the day. That's actually the basis of trying to explain the reason of being a Sadi Goy. But he quotes a Ritva. Before, I mean, of course, you're talking about Rishon, so it has a different kind of value. He says, "The Zelosh Nerit for Betshuva, Leninachem, Betishba." Daiti, he says, "Betivon the Mishuma Ma'ora Aminulei, Alpir Yerushalmi, La'omro B'chol Tzilosa." And the verse says he really should say it noticeably. It says, "Arvis Shachris Rumecha, B'chol Me'ein Ma'ora." Okay? That's like the Rambam. But he is. He says, "Ba'arvis the Shachris, Shehu can meet him meso mutalafono, the eno benachama," he says. In Arvis and Shachris, it's like meso mutalafono. So, hello? Hello?
Yeah, Rabbi, we can hear you. Please continue.
Okay. There's like a beep that comes in occasionally.
Yeah, I know. I don't know who's doing it. I can request again that everybody put their mute button on and perhaps it will stop the interference and everything else.
Okay. So again, the Rizva says, he says, Elisha Ba'arvis the Shachris Kushu can Misha Meso Mudlafana the Eno Benachoma Omnim Rachim. Say Russian Rachim. Lemincha Omnim Nachim. Shedome Lemisha Nikvar Meso. Okay? And then he is in Tomakom Shat. Ain't no more of a mincha, can motion another. I found a phone. That's a very small thing. So apparently, it's more healthy, you really say it in all the truth. Just like any other main amara. But he switches, but he also doesn't just simply, not like the Rambam. Rambam just says racha, he says say it straight, no difference. But the boss says that you say it, he disagrees with our minute, he says you have to say it every tefillah. But he adds, he says, he kind of says, he kind of does, there is no sepanant on them. Because he says that in Arvis and in Shachris, you say Rachim, Russian Rachim. You should make them look like Hamas. But in Mincha, of anybody, it's Mishin Nigban Mesos, so now he can step on Hamas, Rachim, Russian Rachim. And you see, though, even from the Mitzvah, that the Yom is split. Interesting thing. Here's where you see major thought. They're showing that the Yom is split. At the first half, the first part of the day, which is from the inception of the day, last night, straight through to Mana Mincha, Kamisha Mesa Mutlachana. It's a different kind of a sensation, a different kind of a veil. However, after Mincha, then the day takes on a different kind of a meaning, and we're in a state where our velim that are capable of Muhammad, the institution of Muhammad. So there you see again the difference that the day is different than any other kind of a day, that it's split, different characters of the day. Yeah. There's another thing that's different about this day. Another thing that's different about this day is with regard to the Kriya. Because what are we Kare? We're Kare Echa. And ordinarily, like the Rav mentioned in the name of Chaim, that Kriya is only Bayam. Kriya is only Bayam. So Chaim himself didn't help him make a reunion on Madison Chaser. That's Kriya is Bayam. But over here you see Kriya's Balayla. Kriya's Balayla. And if you take a look at the tour in Tosh Kufman Tech, so the tour brings down the minute, he says, just in a second, he says, ain't on Kriya Grimoy, and he says like this. He says, "Avam sechet tefim because of yeshikarn sefer kin." He says, "Matzis the rekam as chamik zomer matar agim alamata b'miyo asofa sifan." The Because of the years in Gothitum, Komoshlo, and my brother. I'm Sarah Sorfin, because of Yesh Koran Sefer Kinos Boerev. The Yesh Ma'acharin Adaboka, Lacha Kriya Sefer Torah. She Acha Kriya Sefer Torah, Omeid, Umispalish Be'ether. He gets up, the Shas, Umispalish Be'ether, he rolls an Ether, Ubegodav Mechaloshim, the Godam are disheveled. Opens the Korah b'dechi of the Yolola and Yodea l'targum amutu and Rav knows only she Yodea l'targum today she avinu kol om or nashim latinotos shanashim chayavos kanashim. That's the tour. So, but you notice he says, no, he doesn't say you learn it twice. That's an interesting thing. There's no kriya shalyon. The Kriya, he says, is two minhagim. One minhag is that you refer by Laila, and he says, no, the Yeshim Ma'achrin Arapoka, La'achar Kriya Sefer Torah, the Ma'achar the Kriya. So apparently there's only one Chi of Kriya Echo. But you see again that it's a unique kind of a situation. It's not like an ordinary situation that you have his Mansa Kriya. Kriya's Bayom. I mean, over here, there's a mitzvah kriya of the mitzvah kriya of the Sefer Kinos, but it depends on the Star Balayla. It seems both ways are kasha. There's not a machlekes. You can Star Balayla or some ma'acher arayam, the ma'acher arayam. So what does it mean really? What does it mean? And then the Beis Yosef brings down the Ramban also, of course, the minhagim. Minig was, for instance, that a person got an aliyah. He said, Baruch Tov Hashem, Lekene Melachon, Zayin Anas. And the Yesh Menichin, the Menich Tikshel Sefer Torah La Karka, Kavelus Shoro, Omen, Nafla Teres Roshena. What are all these Menhagim points to, and the fact that there's difference in all these respects? It shows you one thing. That the halacha over here in a geya to the yom does not function per se. It functions like a shell in order to bring about the avelus of the gata. But the kiyum is really in the avelus of the gata. That's the kiyum of the tishma. The avelus shebelev of the gata. So, in a vela shebelev of the gavra undergoes different experiences. At first, it's mesa mut lefonav. When he first realizes it's Tisha B'Av, and even actually starts even before, in Suda Masekis, the Suda Masekis means the kindness is the absence of privation. So since the nature of kindness is privation, so it begins with achila, the cessation of achila. So the achila gets dragged also because of the nature of the concept of privation. The achila gets dragged also onto the time. The moment he sits down to Suda Masekis. So it means to say that right then and there is a realization that this Suda is going to be a component of the time. So it's the cessation of achila, the absence of achila, is really the essence. It, in that sense, it's like Shabbos. Kindness is like Shabbos. It's the privation. The abstaining from Achilah, which is in Shabbos, abstention from Malach, there's abstention from Achilah. So that's why the Suda Masekis gets dragged in also, and it's Kamisha makes it stuff, Kamisha makes it middle of fun of. So you see, since it's the halacha of the whole lesson, the whole halacha functions as a shell, so to speak, to bring the gavra to a certain state of mind, and the whole kiyum is the state of mind of the gavra. So the tefillah and the nihugim all follow that thing. It would be impossible to have an even Tisha B'Av, because an even Tisha B'Av would be against the whole theme that the gavra has to express himself, realize, undergo various states, emotional states, difficult states, that throw him into different worlds of expression. It makes him look a fun of it. It's a different kind of a thing. That's why really, in truth, there is no yeoman or Lila over here. The way he says, Lushan, he says, Yesh ma'acharin kinos, the ma'achar the kinos ad l'macha. So what does it mean? It means there's no yeoman, there's no Lila, there's no Lachat yeoman Lila over here. What I can't say is there's no Kriya beyond. The Kriya is a Kriya that's based not upon a determined man through our Lachat structure. The Kriya is based upon the availus of the wave of the Gavra. That's the whole essence and the whole theme of the day. and that's why I don't know where I don't do it anymore, but the meaning was to be this polished bracha, to roll in ashes. What was it? Just rolling in ashes? Not a lot of structure. It means to say it's an expression of the emotions and the experiences of the individual, of the Gavra Mesaber, the individual that Mesaber. So you see immediately the Yom is completely different. Another difference also is, for instance, in the Rambam that we did last year with regard to Sheilas Shalom. So what does Rambam say? Rambam says, in Perikei Halacha Yidal, Tamid HaChomim Ein Nosim Zera Zer Shalom V'Tisha B'Av, Ela Yoshvim Dovrim V'Nei Nochem Kavelim. And then he says, In Nosam Lahem Am Ha'aretz Shalom Mazirim Lo B'Sofer Rocha V'Kovei Rosh. So what does it mean? Where's that Halacha structure? And if you're going to say that it's also B'Sheil HaShalom, you can have Halacha, you have Halacha structure. So an Am Ha'aretz is Mufta from this Halacha. Like, how can Mamas and Mukta from this Halacha? Allah is universal for everybody. But the answer is over here, Tisha B'Av is a different kind of a day. All the Nihugim are simply in order to bring about, to bring the Gavran to a certain state. The essence of the Kiyum is the available belief of Knesset Israel and of course the people who comprise Knesset Israel. So if that's the case, so this kind of a perception and this kind of experience can't be alike for everybody. And essentially, there's a major difference. And the major difference is between the Talmid HaChamim, who have the ideas of Torah, understand the formula, of what the day is all about, and the concept of the day, and what Avelis is, and what Chorban HaBayis is, and what Ashur HaShchina is, and the Idiyas Hashem, and the whole system. You can't compare such an individual, what his experience is going to be like, to an ordinary person that has no knowledge, is devoid of knowledge. I mean, he's part of Klal Yisrael, but when it comes to such areas, he's not equal, he's not alike. Two are not alike. I mean, when it comes to the area of Chachmas Hashem or Chachmas Atari Yis Hashem, you can't just take an Amaret and say he's equal to the Talmud Chacham. Two different ways of life and two different understandings, and the two are incomparable. That's what the Rambam says. That Talmid Chachamim, he says, Ein Nosim Zela Zeshon, the Tisha B'Av. Ela Yoshim Dochim Ben Anochim Kavelim, because they really perceive what the Avel is all about. In Nosim Lahem Amorat Shalom, so is Mazuma B'Safarach and Asim Banasim. But it's a different kind of a Tisha B'Av. Why is that so? The reason again is because over here it's not a halachic structure. Not a halachic structure. The halacha functions only to guide the individual as a framework, as kind of a framework, to guide the individual into what the essence of the kingdom of the day is. But the essence of the kingdom of the day is really a kingdom belays of Avelis. And then that's why see if the Torah is based on that, the Skabel, that's what the Skabel also. You don't get the Skabel till you say the Kinnis. Because the Kinnis is where the Avelis is. The Kinnis is when the Avelis is active. That's the active Avelis in the Kinnis. So then you don't say the Skabel, but something's lost. But Before that, you do it now. Different kinds. So if you look at Tisha B'Av, Torah way Moed, it's Moed, but it's completely unique. It's completely separate from all other Yomim that are Nekvayim for Klal Yisrael, because of what it's based on and because of the ideas that really that it partakes of. So what I'd like to do now is to go into some of the ideas of this stuff. The major themes. And also what I'd like to do is something that the Rav mentioned that there shouldn't be a separate Yom HaShoah to Rav. The Yom HaShoah of all, the biggest one of all, is really Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is really Yom HaShoah. That's why in the Kiddush he mentioned all the horrible catastrophes of the so-called Yisrael in time immemorial. So the Holocaust is really assigned to this day. Assigned to this day. So with regard to the Holocaust, of course, it's something that you might say the way Klal Yisrael, or the way most people look at it, it's kind of like something that we don't touch, and we don't really kind of avoid it. And I don't mean the bringing up the facts of the events. That's become a common practice. But I mean, what I'm referring to is dealing with seeking an explanation for the Holocaust world and understanding. I'm going to clarify it on my words. I'm just using tentatively certain terms, but I'll clarify as we go along. But how do we view it? After all, it is the most horrible catastrophe that ever befell our Israel in terms of horror and atrocity, in terms of magnitude. It's something which is indescribable. It's indescribable. And yet, it's something that happened in our very recent history, and it's something which there has to be a way of we Klal Yisrael has to be equipped with a way to handle it, to understand it. And so far as there has to be some ideas about it. Yeah, some people say, you know, we don't understand it. We don't understand it's not an answer. We don't understand a lot of things. It's not an answer. People say we don't understand it. In Yahadus, we agree, we admit we don't understand a lot of things. I mean, first and foremost, it's Yes Hashem. Even in areas of Shas, which is Halacha, which is Nigra, which is Devakotin. But the Rambam mentions that the Zion didn't understand certain areas, it's too abstract, very abstract, and it's Irish. So we're ready to admit that we don't understand a lot of things, but we're not ready to just say we don't know. That's wrong. We just don't know, and then we just don't know, so then what's Kol HaTorah Kula? Yeah, there are areas that we don't have any knowledge, that we lack knowledge, but we have a framework of how to deal and how to understand things. That's what the Torah really gives us. Just say we don't know, that's devoid of knowledge, devoid of understanding. That's not Torah, that's not Klal Yisrael. Torah has a way of giving us ideas on what kind of a meaning and how to approach something. And with regard to the Holocaust as well, there has to be a way to understand. To understand it, as far as we as human beings can have some kind of an insight. There has to be some kind of an insight here. It can't just be we just don't know. It's common enough. Like Ramban says in the Shah Gmor, a person will say, what do we have to go into all these HaKadosh Baruch Hu's justice? And you just say, we don't know. We're lying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, the person that says that is a Moish B'Chachma. People say, Moish B'Chachma. Now, we try to understand. And the Torah has given us to understand. So if, as the Rav says, at the Yom HaShoah and signed and incorporated at that Tishabov. And I said, Tishabov, many bad things and five bad things happened. It means the day, tragedy, that's really the whole essence of the day. So then the ideas that the Navi gives us with regard to Tishabov have to be applicable as well to the Holocaust. So the question is, I mean, what are these? What are these ideas? I mean, what are the ideas that that are expressed in our culture? What are the ideas? What are the essential ideas? So if you take a look at Eicho, really, you see that the philosophy of Eicho. I'll start off with just a question. Philosophy of Eicho really is counter to popular wisdom. Why? Because popular wisdom has it that if something bad happens to a person, that it's not wise to harp on it and keep on aggravating us. But popular wisdom is that the intelligent thing to do is to understand the state, understand the situation, and use all means to move ahead. To move ahead. Don't spend your time, don't waste your time crying. Don't cry over spilled milk. It's a common aphorism. So, yeah. But Tisha B'Av goes directly against that wisdom. Because in Tisha B'Av we stand a contrary. Tisha B'Av we steep ourselves in every aspect of the tragedy. Peanuts. That's what peanuts really is. It means that we spend time not avoiding, but looking into and examining every detail and bringing back all the details of everything that happened in our past, and the kinnis you see, that's the case. We're doing this morning the kinna of the Loza Kalia, our kinnis came into the Heho, and the Tamed Lachmaponim, we took a sword and the parocha, and we Zachor Hashem, and we go through all every little detail and every event that the Goyim defiled in the Kedusha of the Middash, and everything that did against us in every way, in every detail. So we harp on it. It's the opposite. We aggravate over it. We harp on it. We don't forget it. And it's exactly the opposite. Formula. That's why Tisha B'Av really, every society has a philosophy. American society has a philosophy as well. Because a human being, beyond his basic needs, whatever he does, has to be tied to some kind of an idea of the good. So he has to live with some kind of philosophy, whatever it is. Whether it's a materialistic philosophy, whether it's an idealistic philosophy. But he has to, if he does anything more than take care of his basic bodily needs, I mean, it has to be based tied to some idea, some motivation. Why is he doing it? So the only answer for a human being is because it's good. It's good for you. So he has to have an idea of the good. So every society has its philosophy. Our society's philosophy is definitely counter and opposite to the philosophy of the museum on Tisha B'Av. That's why really Tisha B'Av is very difficult for Americans to teach this. But it goes against the whole ideas of life, the way of life is to try to make yourself happy and to think of if something's bad, you made a mistake, you did something wrong, in whatever realm of life it may be, don't harp on it and try to figure out what you did wrong and then you go further. So the question, of course, is it's a good question. So why don't we ask that question over here too? Why do we have to lament and go through every tragedy and aggravate ourselves and torment ourselves emotionally? Why don't we just do what we have to do. We made a mistake. Okay, so let's be chozer v'tshuva. Chozer v'tshuva, and we'll go further. Why steep ourselves in an avelus, in a painful emotional state of avelus? Pain is something which our society doesn't like. It has to get away from it. And we intentionally put ourselves into it. It's a completely different kind of a philosophy. What if somebody would say to us, why? What's the reason after all? In the world, I mean, there is a common sense to the world, even Chazal. Aristotle recognizes that. There's common wisdom. Chazal also recognizes it. Say, Ayadami Inchi. I mean, the Chazal might. Many things that people do, there's a wisdom to it. You have to dismiss it, examine, maybe there's some idea there. So what about this idea? What would we say? People of the world say to us, well, what are you wasting your time? As a matter of fact, it was one of the apokrifim, one of the saw that the Jews in the Sabbath of Shalim said, this is the destruction of the people, wasting their time, keeping themselves in mourning. This is against logic and against progress and against what a nation should be doing. And we say, no, just the opposite. So why, what's our answer? I mean, why, you have to answer this question. Why don't we just say, okay, so we have a different system. The person makes a mistake in his personal relations, so he corrects it. Whatever it is, he hurt somebody, apologizes, moves ahead. He made a mistake in the free world of finances, okay, he lost his focus, but now what did I do wrong? Now I'll correct it. So why don't we say the same thing? After all, we have a remedy. You do something wrong, you're chozer v'tshuva. So why don't we do the same thing? What are we wasting our time? Why don't we just chozer v'tshuva and move forward? But we can't do that. That's not the prescription of the Navi. What really is the pasuk that states most explicitly in Eicha that we are that's not the formula. The formula is mentioned in Eicha Beis Pasuk Yitzer. Kumi Roni Valaila, Rosh Hashmura, Shifchi Chamayim Libe, Nochach Tanei Rishna. So what does it mean? It means that we're obligated to, the formula is on the contrary. Kumi Roni, to cry out Valaila, cry out at night time. Shifchi Chamayim Libe, Nochach Tanei Rishna. Interesting expression, no chachmanerish. In front of Hashem, you don't even engage in tshuva. I'm a slasham tshuva. Not even in tshuva, that kind of stuff. Let alone tshuva. Not even in tshuva. But shifchi chamayim libech, no chachmanerish. That's the formula. Kumi roni balay. So what's the reason? Why is that so? Why don't we be progressive about it? But the answer is like this. I'll tell you what the answer is. The answer is that in the world, that makes sense. And in the world, if you make a mistake, you're making a mistake in something practical. So if a person made a mistake in something that he did, let's say his personal relations, when he said the wrong things, when he made a mistake, so the whole reason for the personal relations is in order to attain a certain end goal, a certain satisfaction. So there's no reason for the person to lament over the situation. All he has to do is logically correct what he did wrong and move ahead and get what he wants. In the world of the material, the monetary world, the same thing is true. Why does a person investigate and try to use his intelligence in terms of his monetary state, his investment, let's say? Because he wants the end result. He wants the profit. So now he made a mistake. So all he has to do is correct the error and move ahead. Because that's to just go into the mistake and to keep thinking about the mistake is not productive. It's counterproductive. But that's because in every area, all you're interested in the practical. So the knowledge per se has no value. Knowledge is only a means to attain a certain goal. So sometimes thinking about something is productive, gaining the knowledge. That's insofar as it's productive, so you use the knowledge. But the knowledge is there for your use. And the moment you start getting involved in the knowledge in a way that it has other effects on you, so that's no good, so you abandon it. That's a good plan. It's a logical plan. It makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense in every area of most areas of human life, practically all areas, most people, where a person uses intelligence as a means to gain his satisfaction, not for the thing itself. But in Yahadus, that's not the case. In our system, that's not the case. In our system, the knowledge is the good. The knowledge itself. So that's why we can't say that we're just going to look into this, see what we did wrong, and then simply correct it. Not so simple. Because we have to take a look and we have to see what is our state. Where are we? What is our state before we want to close the tshuva? We have to understand, we have to have knowledge of what the state is. What happened? We have to study the situation. Study. So the knowledge per se has value. But not only the knowledge per se has value, so we have to steep ourselves into what the state that we are in now, vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, in order to understand where we're at. And not only do we have to do that, you see, but it's not just an intellectual exercise, but it is something, because an intellectual exercise is for a goal. Over here, the goal is the knowledge itself. So if the goal is the knowledge itself, the perfection in man demands that his emotions follow his knowledge. The emotions are in line with it. So when we investigate over here, our discovery that we have, how we stand, insofar as our relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we see that it's a tragic one, so knowledge dictates that our emotions be in line with that. And if our emotions are in line with that, well, then there has to be Kol Nei Yehudah. And it has to be Kumi Roni Valaila L'Rosh Hashmura. Shifchi Chamayim Libeich Nochach Penei. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of all reality. He is the only thing that's real. And we put our emotions in line with the knowledge that we gain from investigating the methods that the museum has set up for us. And when we do that, we find we're in a terrible state of mourning. Terrible state of mourning. That's the answer. That's why we say Kundalini and Lalaya. So that's the difference here. The difference between us and the world is right in their realm, the practical realm. But for us, our salvation is the effort, in the knowledge. The knowledge demands that we're emotionally in line with it. And that's why Tishabov unravels the suffering of the day of torment, suffering, and discomfort. Yes. Now the question is, if you take a look, I'm going to say briefly the five echlas, and then you have Ani Agever, and then the conclusion is Zachar Hashem Ayalam. So, and we'll get back to it. Just give the heading, the Rosh Hashanah. See, the first one seems similar to the third. And it is similar to the third. The first one is similar to the third, but there's one difference in the first one and the third. The third one is spelled out in normal terms. So in other words, in terms of how we should express ourselves. That's The third one is dollars. And it goes through all the description of the state in dollar, the third one. But it sounds like a repetition of the first one. There's one major difference in the first one and the third one. We'll get back to it. The first one, it's the ear, Yerushalayim. The framework of Yerushalayim. The ear itself. Bochos siske balayla. She cries by night. Means who? The most alechi is Yerushalayim becomes personified. As the ear takes on a personality, and it's all in the framework of the ear. Yecha yashav vada, yira basi yom, oisha kalmona, basi vadayim sarasi vanina, oisha lavad, oisha lavad. So, and how the ear relates, to the nations that surround it. That's the Eicha Aleph. The third Eicha is just without the personification, it's just in normal terms. But the difference between the first Eicha and the second Eicha is something else. What's the difference between the first Eicha and the second Eicha? The difference like this. And the first echa, I should say, and the third echa, on the one hand, and the second echa, there is a tremendous difference. The difference is the first and the third one talk about the horror of the state of things. Now, through talking about the horror, there's an idea behind it. Okay, I'll get back to it in a moment. But the difference between those two and between the second one is that the second one talks about a pedestal. That's it. And the second one gives us something that's very strange and very frightening, because the second one presents HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the light of an enemy. That is a different kind of Pnei Hashem. Rashi. The second Eicha is the expression of the Punim Shalzam of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, which is something that's a frightening thought, frightening idea, an idea that people don't like to hop on or to think about. But the Navi is not afraid to express it. And Evan Echo Bey Dalit, Dorach Kashto Ka'oye, like an enemy, each of the Nina Kitsor, Ayaroi Ko Mahamad El Oye, the oil Bastia in Shefach Ka'esh Hamasa, Oya Rashem Ka'oye, or Dorach is like an enemy, Bila Yisrael, Walla Rap Yisrael, Bila Kola Menasea, Shiche Yisrael, Ayaroi Vasi Higa Tania Vani. He continues, Vayachme Chayam Shiches Moyadar, Shika Hashem the Tsir Moyad the Shabbat, Vayina Tzama for a Melacha Bayam. So here you see a different idea. Most people seem to tolerate such an idea, try to run away from that. But again, if we're going to follow the formula of the museum, then we have to we can't do that. We have to listen carefully to what the Navi is telling us. And even though it's painful and frightening, we have to face up to it. So you see, the Navi expresses an idea, and that's really the problem on the whole, is that people, like I said before, people absorb the culture of the society that they're in, and in American culture, and therefore what they try to do is figure out the differences to those kinds of feelings and emotions and expressions, but it just doesn't work. But the others, and the world that is based upon their own emotions and their own nonsense. But over here, he's another demands that we face a painful type of a thought, like Rashi said. May Zahn, Tan and Zahn are so up at itself. And you see, in you mentioned the three echos, and now we'll mention the fourth one, which is Ani Agever. And the Ani Agever is different because Ani Agever is really the insight of the Navi as an individual observer, as an individual. Different kind of thing. And what he experiences, the way he sees it from his standpoint, as an individual, and as a Navi, as a person of a person of a Navi, and that's different, of course, than saying Zuhr, and so far as the Echor, which is given a Zuhr. But the Ani Agever is, of course, it's all Ruach HaKodesh, but the Ani Agever, from the standpoint of Yirmiyahu himself, of his own idea. And you see that he brings up that idea also when he talks about that. Because he says, when he starts off mildly, Bila the Torah of Ori, he doesn't say identify, Shibat Moses, born all life, Vayak approach his law, the Machashatam Ashivani Kamesa Erlam, because of the Masi. The Masay Hashem, go there by the Lord, eat the Hichtim Nechashi, but then he says, he finally says, Dov Orevu, like a bear lying in waiting, a reed in the star, Baruch Baruch Hu is like a lion in hiding and waiting to pounce. Rochai Sora by Pashkin Samani Shaman. Dorach Kashta by Yasidain Samatar Lach. He comes out with it. He's facing the idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as an enemy. The Pony Zomer, the Pnei Zom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's really the second act. I think that one of the reasons why the Holocaust is something which people turn away from is because they don't want to recognize that idea. That idea is very painful for a person, very distasteful. A person wants to feel loved by a better person. Doesn't want to feel that a better person is like an enemy. It's punning his drama. Person doesn't feel comfortable with that idea. But it's an idea that you cannot escape. It's an idea that you cannot escape, and it's an idea that we shouldn't escape. And nobody recommends that we face it, that we face that. What is the first step that precedes that idea, is Rashi mentioned. It's a possible source, an Echa Dalit. Another says, a Yigdal Avon Basami Mechatas Dom. And the faith. The fate of Klal Yisrael that was the fate of Saul. And I said many times, anyone that thinks that Echa is questioning on God, oh, I'm sensitive. Must speak again and again. Must speak again. We don't have such a thing. The time is on a cutoff wall. That is not sensitive. That means the Pasuk said that we are worse than Sodom. Worse than Sodom, so what do we have to say? Nothing to answer. And Rashi says, how do we know that? So Rashi says, Tu anosa mochiach alei, shegodol avona mishosa. How could you tell? You can tell from the Puranic. Which means that we have a claw, and that's and the writer. Lizav v'lariya b'chatzotros al kol sorosh atov al tibor, which means that we're mechuyev to recognize that this didn't just happen. Himself will need to carry and just say it's mikro, it's neoniyes. So then you're kofer in the whole essence of the Torah. So you can't turn away. Can't turn away from Quranius and just say and just dismiss it and say the sun is shining, it's a happy day, and just say HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us and that's all there is to it. That's simplistic nonsense. You see the nothing's against such ideas. A Yidalavan Basani Mechatas Dom Puranusa Mochiach Aleihem Shegodalavan Mishel Dom. Godol Avona Mishelton. Why Afucha Kamaroga Vallachola Vayadayim? They didn't suffer like we did. They just went out in a minute. So they stole Mlonimshika Tarasa, Kurega Vallachola. Much better faith. So Vayidol Avon Basami Mechatas Dom. So why is it that people can't face the Holocaust? Because over there, we have a problem. Because Puranosa Mochiach Aleihem, and people try to say crazy things with regard to it, because they don't want to face that. They don't want to face that idea. But the Navi demands that we do. The Navi demands that we do. Vayigdal Avon Basami Mechatas Dom. We have to recognize that our Puranias is Mochiach Aleihem, and it's Mochiach that there's a pun in Zorma. That we witnessed in our very near history. Vayigdalavon basami, chatas dom. Oyar Hashem ka'oye, bila Yisrael. These tzukim we can't just dismiss and push away because they're not comfortable. We have to sink into it. We have to accept it. We have to realize it. That's the first step. And in every Puranias, the outcome is completely dependent upon how the individual or the group understands it and deals with it. Deal with it the wrong way, so then Rahman Aslam, then there's no salvation, there's no way out. So there's no Yeshua. So it's something that may be difficult for us to face, but we have to follow the recommendation of another, the advice of another. And we have to realize that it's Panizono. That's one of the reasons I think that people have a difficult time because they don't want to think of it that way. The American philosophy is always to try to be happy. Not the philosophy of the others. Panizono. Echa Beis. Second Echa.
National Career. Yeah. But let me get back to Eicha Aleph. Okay. What is Eicha Aleph really? Eicha Aleph, we mentioned Eicha Aleph, and that's also the third Eicha, is a description of all the horrors and the atrocities that we lived through in the Churban HaBayis, and that's a platform for it. It's really the prototype of our entire history from that time on. So Churban HaBayis with the intervention with the time that we had Churban HaBayis Rishon, and Churban HaBayis Sheni, the time in between where we had the bias. But after that, it's the same exact situation. And it's the same exact situation not once a year, it's the same exact situation every day, basically. Every day throughout our history. Moments of relief, but the basic theme didn't change. And the scene will not change until, and that's Caroline Moe, as I said before, until we really understand the ideas of Tisha B'Av, and until Klal Yisrael really heeds the ideas of the Navi and the advice of the Navi, and then through that, Caroline Moe, the Gula Sida will come. But not before. So really, this day is a concentration of our existence for hundreds and thousands of years. That's basically what it is. But what is the formula in Eicha Aleph? What is the formula in Eicha Aleph? I mean, you see, the basic, what we've established so far is just one thing. That you might say the most basic element in the formula is that we have to be able to face painful ideas. That is really the essence of Tisha B'Av. You have to be able to do that. You have to have the ability to do that. That's what the Navi teaches. And to try to avoid it, to try to escape it, means total devastation. So, what is the idea of Eicha Aleph? Not, as we said, I mean, not a description alone, just simply description, I mean, leads to nothing. And so what is the ideal lead? Now, in Eicha, you have something, and in the Kinnis, you have something, speaking about this morning, which seems like a contradiction, but it really isn't. On the one hand, we're matzvah to think, but on the other hand, we always are astounded when we speak about the horrors and all the experiences, the untold that we've undergone, you see. We speak about them in terms like, Eicha, how is this possible? And the Kinnis also. How is it possible? And in the Eicha itself, we're astounded at it. But it sounds like a contradiction. But that being Mastik has been on the one hand, and then on the other hand, you're astounded. Either the Mastik is in, or else you're not Mastik is in. You don't understand it. But to do both simultaneously seems like a contradiction and an impossibility. But the Navi somehow managed to say that these two things are not mutually exclusive. That it is appropriate at one time to say, how could this be? It's impossible. And at the same time, to be matzik the din. What is the answer to that dilemma? That's what we have to know. What is the answer to that dilemma? The answer to that dilemma, I think, is based upon one thing. And that is that the most basic yisod of Yahadus, most basic yisod of Yahadus is that we know certain things. We know for sure that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists, and our knowledge leads us to a 100% verification of that fact, the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But we know simultaneously that the human mind is a created entity through which God gave us the ability gain some insight. But it is virtually impossible for a human being to really comprehend the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and it's intrinsic logical impossibility. I'm not going to go into that right now, but that is the basic. That is the most basic Yisrael of Adar. So Yisrael is Leda Sheyesham Matzirishim. We know that. But beyond that, we know that we cannot go. The Adon HaNeviim was allowed to go a little bit beyond that, because he had some idea that no one ever knew before or after about the existence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu that no human being has ever had. But that's as far as he was able to go. Some idea beyond which an ordinary person has about the existence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So what it means is like this. What it means is that man cannot really know Midos HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no such thing as Midos HaKadosh Baruch Hu per se. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have any Midos. It means it's something that we use to express the Maaseh Hashem and how they reach us. So the concept, the idea of these two things not being mutually exclusive, namely, being matzik to din, ba'igal avon basami nachatas dom, and nevertheless, to be able to say, how is it possible that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did this to us? The answer is straightforward. The answer is that we are unfortunate Talmidim in this situation. We're Talmidim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Melamed Torah, and he's Melamed Torah in many ways. One of the ways he's Melamed is Mochiach, Kasher Yaser Ish Asbenor, Hashem Elokecha Miyasreka. So we have documentation, and we have facts to study, and these facts really tell us about the Midas HaDin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the extent of the Midas HaDin. And when we study that area of the extent of the Midas HaDin, we're astounded, because we only have a Daf or Adam. But nevertheless, we're obligated to do it. We never would imagine how severe the Midas HaDin could be. We wouldn't imagine that. And that's what we're saying. That's the idea of Echa. How could it be the Midas HaDin is so severe beyond the realms of our imagination, basically? And certainly in the Holocaust, I mean, we've recently seen that. Beyond the imagination. So the answer is that we are ignorant of the Midas HaDin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're ignorant of the Midas HaDin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're unfortunate students of the Midas HaDin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nevertheless, we don't turn away from it. We don't turn. Tisha B'Av, the Navi does not turn away from the Midas HaDin. He looks into the Midas HaDin and into all the details of the Midas HaDin, and he tries to grasp the extent of the Midas HaDin, but he can't really fully grasp it, because it's beyond his ken, beyond the area of his knowledge. But nevertheless, he engages and pursues the knowledge of the Midas HaDin, because it's important that we should know the extent of the Midas HaDin. What did the Yirmiyahu say to Tzitzio? Yirmiyahu said to Tzitzio, if you don't listen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will throw your bodies to the Nevlaschem, Lof HaShemayim Lovem Asar. And without any Rachmanis, there will be no Rachmanis. So the Midas HaDin is very extensive. And we have to be aware of that. We can't just try to sweep it away and sweep talk it away and say it doesn't exist. I mean, that's not this about. That's not the Navi's recommendation. So the Navi says that's why the Navi in the two of the essential ideas in Kinnis, which happens to all the ideas in Kinnis come from Echa. They stem from Echa Aleph. That's Echa Aleph and Echa Dalet, which is the third Echa. That studying the extent of the Midas Adin of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, the seriousness of the Midas Adin, and what could happen? There could be a time there's no Rahman. No Rahman whatsoever. And the Kinnis expresses. Express these ideas as well. Look carefully in the Kinnis to see. Clearly express it. Something which is painful. We don't like to think in those terms. So that's what I'm saying. The most basic premise of Tisha B'Av is it's a day in which a person must be able to face very painful thoughts. Not simply reminiscences of events, but painful thoughts that are negea him, his life, and the life of, and the existence of Knesset Yisrael, of Klal Yisrael. That the Midas HaDin could be mesucha in a way, in a horrible way, that we can't even imagine the extent of our. That's really an essential idea of Kinnis. That's what the Navi does. And it could be a pun in Zohamos, Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu could appear kidov orev, like a bear waiting to pounce, karib in the storm, like a lion in hiding, just waiting to pounce on an individual. That's the punim shel zam shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have to realize that there is such a reality. Yeah. I would just like to now just take up the fifth Echa, the Zachar Hashem Mahayolam. Zachar Hashem Mahayolam is really a continuation of the theme. It's really, Zachar Hashem Mahayolam is bringing everything in the four prakim up to here, bringing it to a kind of a climax. But before I do that, let me just mention one thing. I mean, the Navi never leaves us. The Navi demands Torah is an unusual kind of a system of study. Unique, the only one of its kind. It demands a person look at everything and study everything and know everything and be sensitive to everything and to have his emotions in line with it. But it does not lend itself to a simple emotional attitude like despair. You see, despair is not, there's no such thing like that. Because simple emotional attitudes are human psychological phenomena that are a result of a person's investigation. See? And a person, he's finished. That's when he has a certain emotional attitude. He's happy, he's in despair, he's depressed, he's fulfilled. Any kind of an attitude. See, those attitudes, there is no attitude in the Hadith. The Navi doesn't assign any attitude. Because an attitude is when you're finished investigating. In the Hadith, we don't finish. In the Hadith, we're constantly in a state of study. But in the process of study, we don't try to avoid any kind of emotions that are in line with reality, no matter how painful. That's it. I just want to mention, you see, so when we think of these ideas, of the fearful, awesome, and fearful extent that the Midas HaDin could take, frightening, it's beyond our imagination. Okay? And we think of the pun and zomo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the reason why people don't want to do that is because they're afraid that they'll fall into despair. And they know despair is there. Yeah, but that's not a reason. See, that's a nonsensical reason. It's like a person saying, Perhaps it might work again in the practical sometime. Of course, why should I think about it? It's not going to do any good. But not where the area is knowledge itself. Where the area is knowledge itself, such advice is nonsensical. Because you can't say you're going to be in despair. You're in despair. So that's why you're going to avoid the knowledge? Then you don't have any knowledge. So knowledge has to be pursued for its own sake. So just to say that you don't want to be in a state of use, so that's why you can't do this, that's completely absurd. If this is reality, we have to have that reality. If there's a pun in Zalmar, shall I cut it down? And if I eat Galavon Basami Mechata Sedan, because we see the Polonias, so then we have to be ready to accept that. We have to be ready to engage in that, and to pursue it, and to pursue it. So, of course, you'll ask me, but doesn't that really lead to the conclusion of despair? All right. Does it lead to that conclusion? And my answer is that the Navi really answered that. And the Navi answered that in Ani, I guess. And I think it's important that you understand what the Navi says. Because, you see, most people's Tanchumim is really what Chazal calls Tanchumim Shel Hevel. Tanchumim Shel Hevel means that, like Chazal would say, they had something there, and another one of Chazal would come to visit him, and Charlie would not have said, don't give me this Tanchumim Shel Hevel. They don't like to be fooled. They don't like to be fooled. Just to be happy for a nonsensical reason is not the death of Yahadah. So the Navi gives Tanchumim, but I want you to understand it's not Tanchumim in order to attain the goal. It's not a means to attain the goal. It's reality. We're not going to accept Tanchumim. It's not real, so then that's it. So what are we going to do? But we can't say because we need Tanchumim, so we're going to deny knowledge. That's the derech of a fool. But at the same time, we can't say that we're going to fall into despair without investigating every bit of knowledge that's available to us. That's what I want you to understand, that in Tisha B'Av there's Nechama. There is Nechama in Tisha B'Av in the second half of the day. In Mincha there is Nechama. But it's not because we need Nechama. We don't invent things because we need them. That's a fool that acts in that way. That's American society. You need it, so you invent it. This idea doesn't make any sense, but it's going to make you happy, so you go along with this idea. That's not the derech of the Navi. It's not the derech of the Navi. But the fact remains, fortunately, there is Tanchum. Fortunately, there is Tanchum. And the Navi gives the idea of Tanchum. In the Ani Agefa, when he talks about it from the standpoint of his own personal view, the view of the Ish Tzadik, the Ish Nothing. So he says, "The Omar Avad Nitzchi, the Sochalti Me'Arashem." That's what these ideas lead to. The Omar Pasuk Yuches. The Omar Avad Nitzchi, the Sochalti Me'Arashem. And then he says, but then it comes back, you see, the whole onion in the Yudhi Lana Varosh, Zohar Tiskor, the Sershua Chalai Nafshi. I'll get back to that in a minute. He's really explaining, you see, what the Zohar Hashem Mahoya Lana was. We'll get back to that in a minute, but we'll just jump a little bit ahead. But he says, Zos Oshiv Elibi Al Kenoch, that there is an idea that I will return to my heart, means that I will accept, I will investigate, and I will live by, and I understand to be true. You see, Zos Oshiv Elibi Al Kenoch. There is fortunately an idea here. If there weren't, so that's it. We have to be in line with reality. That's the first premise. But what is this idea? He says, Chazdei Hashem kilo sonu kilo cholo rachma. You say, Chadashim rabakom rabam unesecho. What does it mean? It means like this. It means that what do we see from Tisha B'Av? We see that our understanding, our simple comprehension, I just a simple comprehension, the comprehension even of the greatest Adam, even of the greatest Chacham, will lead him never to be able to imagine the extent of the horror of the Midat Hadin. And the Ponim Zoham of Shalakarish Baruch Hu. Hayar Hashem Toye, that something which he could never understand or measure or guess the extent. But at the same time, Chazve Hashem to Rosham. He also does not know the extent of the Chesed Hashem. Al-Kenoch. But there's another idea, the counterpart of the first idea. And that is that the Chesed Hashem is also something a human being has no way of measuring. No way of measuring, and he doesn't understand. Okay, no. I don't know. But I know that I don't know the Chesed Hashem on a primary sense, that I could say that because I know its nature, the nature of it, that I can count on it. But I know it exists. I know it exists. I know it's Kilo Hashem. That's the Nechama. But that's a real Nechama. That's a Nechama based on knowledge. That's not a Nechama based on full knowledge. That's the Nechama of the Navi. Now, what is the Zachor Hashem? Let me just get back to the Zachor Hashem Mahayalanu. What is the Zachor Hashem Mahayalanu? The Zachor Hashem Mahayalanu is. And what does it mean, Zachor Hashem? And then if you take a look at the parak, that parak in Eicha, Zachor Hashem Mahayomano. And I'll tell you something. A person that is misnachim with nonsense, it may be he runs to that quickly and it's a quick emotional fix. But that's all it is, basically. It doesn't last because he knows it's down deep as nothing. But the true Nechama, the Nechama that's based on knowledge, that is real. And that's the thing that gives a human being genuine support. Because he knows it's real. The essential part of his nature knows it's real. And Das is telling him again. Don't go near the rest. Okay. So the Zachor Hashem Mahayolon. What is the idea of the Zachor Hashem Mahayolon? I just want to outline, you finish outlining the Eicha. So basically, if you look at the Zachor Hashem Mahayolon, so he reviews all the things, again, Nachal HaSen and Nachal HaZorin, and the Kinnis takes it and explains, and it puts it, Zachor Hashem Mahayolonu, Batein L'Nachum Zachor Hashem Mahayolonu, Yisamah Yirein Lo'av Oy, Zachor Hashem Mahayolonu, and straight through. The Navi didn't do it, but the Kinnis is explaining that's really what it means, because the Navi's not going to repeat every time, but that's what it is. Every one of these things, Zachor Hashem Mahayolonu, Zachor Hashem Mahayolonu. What does it mean, Zachor Hashem Mahayolonu? When we say Zochreinu, we say Yala Zochreinu Lefanecha, so what does that mean? Zikaron HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't forget anything. It means, Zikaron means that this should be real. This should have a value before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All these horrible things should have a reality before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what it means. What does it mean it should have a reality before HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu determines the level of reality. But there's one area that he doesn't determine, and that's the area of the Bechira Chofshis of the Adam. He gave us free will, and we determine the reality. So how do we determine the reality? We determine the reality by going over all these things and studying the Midas Hadin with all the painful expressions and every detail and going in, steeping ourselves into it and studying the Midas Hadin and looking at the extent and coming to the realization that we don't really know, we have no idea of the extent of the Midas Hadin. It's something which is horrible for us. We can't say such a thing. But by studying it insofar as we can, and being Talmidim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this gives all of those events a reality before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that it serves as a means of HaKadosh Baruch Hu returning to us. Our studying of the events gives it the reality. And because we do, and because we engage in it, And because we don't sidestep it, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then we say, Nachtasod Rechinu V'Nachkoro Tshuva, and Hashuvinu Ad Hashem Elecho V'Nashuva. But it's not a simple formula. It's not simply because we study it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu returns to us. It is Hashuvinu Ad Hashem Elecho. And through studying it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu places before us situations of tshuva, opportunities of tshuva. And then we have to move and take advantage of the opportunity. And if you don't take advantage of the opportunity, it's lost. That's another aspect of the day. If you want to characterize the day in another way, I would say the day of Tisha B'Av is a day which people always say it's never too late. Now, Tisha B'Av is a day, it is too late. It was too late. We missed the boat. And it's interesting. It starts with the Meraglim, and the same thing, and if you look carefully into the story of the Meraglim, you see the same thing. Because what happened to the Meraglim? The Meraglim were Chotim, and the Meraglim didn't have the courage to face physical battle, confrontation, and because of their fear, they allowed their fear to overcome and distort their view of reality. So they died in the Midbar. They were made from Midbar. But there was a group after the decree was given that realized they made a terrible mistake. And that was an opulent. And they tried to do tshuva. Chatanu l'Hashem, anachnu na'alav yirashnu, b'chol ha'shetzilan ha'shem ha'kinu. What does Kach Baruch Hu say? Emolem, lo yisalu, lo yisig mulachamu, ki ineni bekir b'chem, lo yisig nalfu, v'shnei ha'vehem. Too late now. Too late. You had the opportunity before, but you missed it. And it's too late, and now you have to suffer the decree and die in the Midbar, and there's no way out of it. Man likes to think that it's never too late. Another bit of philosophy from our society, but a bit of untrue philosophy. The wise king says, "Move us while you're holiskan." Yeah, some mistakes you can undo, but not all of them. "Move us while you're holiskan." Cannot undo it. It's too late. You see. And the day of Tisha B'Av is a day in which we must engross ourselves in all those things that we did. It was too late. It was too late. We missed it. And because of that, hundreds and thousands and millions of nefashas were lost. And we lost it. We made a mistake. What was the case with the Ma'apilim? Why couldn't they do tshuva anymore? I'll tell you why they couldn't do tshuva anymore. Because, you see, the thing is, in order to do tshuva, Hashivinu Ad Hashem Elecho V'Nashuva. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give us an opportunity for tshuva. Tshuva requires a basis. The basis, we get from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from the Ashgacha. But you can't always just do tshuva so simply. A person is a chote. You think it's easy just to turn around and midstream, no, there's Vorma Maxim of Hashuva. That's so easy. But sometimes it's Vorma, and sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu removes this Vorma Maxim and gives us an opportunity. It's a golden opportunity. By the Ma'apilim, it was too late. Why? Because, see, they had a Bechira when Moshe Rabbeinu told them, now's the time. They said, it was fine. That was fine. Because they wanted to view it rationally, take a look, investigate. No problem. But then what happened with them was, they started to make too many cheshbain. See, there are people that they outsmart themselves. And they keep making more cheshbainis and more cheshbainis. And then it was already, they got lost in the cheshbanis. What do you mean they got lost in the cheshbanis? No, we can't do it. This, that, people are dying. This, let's take a look slowly. Let's rethink this. Let's not rush into this. You see? They were very, very careful. Very careful. And what happened was, they got lost in the way of the practical. The the power of the practical that exercises itself over a person. And in the practical world, it could be that good. It could be that good. But not in this world. In this world is a metaphysical reality that underlies the practical. We believe in a metaphysical reality. We don't believe the physical. The Rambam says, to a fool, the physical is very real. To a chacham, it's not the physical that's real, it's the ideation that's real. You see in this week's parsha, the Eicha Esa, Eicha, the Tzid Munkulos, Esbos, Noucha Sezren, Savoris Esa. What is Savoris? Svar. What is Svar? Svar is an idea. It means to us, what carries everything? The idea. The idea is real. The idea is more real than the phenomena. The levels of reality. So, what happened with the Meraglim was, started off very nicely. You said, many other way. You have to have practical knowledge. But what happened was, they became absorbed in the practical knowledge, and they became subordinated to the practical. And they lost the view of the metaphysical reality that was behind it. You see? And the way a person looks at things is always dependent upon his knowledge. A physician does not look at an illness in the same way that a layman does. A layman may think he does, and can even confer with the physician on a certain level. But the view is a completely different one, because the physician has knowledge of how the body works, and he can't convey that kind of a view to an ignorant person. An ignorant person, to him, the disease is, he puts it in his own emotional framework, not in a scientific framework. But just like there are two different views, a view for the scientist, the way the scientist views the world, and the way the average person views the world, and that's why scientists are always saying they can't explain themselves to the masses of people, and as much as they popularize, every book that's popularized, they always say, yeah, but we can't really, you have to really know mathematics, you really can't get a view of what we're talking about, because, and it's true, because he's in a different world. He's in a different world, on a different plane of reality. And the way the layman, the way it hits the layman, affects the layman is in a completely different way. Just like a Talmud Chacham cannot convey his view of Allah to an Amharic. It's just not possible. The same thing is true with regard to how you view things depending upon your knowledge. That's why they said, Lo Nuchal Allah Salam, and Kalev said, no, Olam Na'levi Rashnu Asal. Two completely contradictory views. It wasn't a matter of generalship. It wasn't a tactical argument. The argument, they both had the same facts. The argument was a view of reality. They were caught up in the view of the practical, and Yeshua and Kalev were in the view of the metaphysical. And it looked different. The odds were different. It was a completely different battle. So the situation was not the same. It was not identical. That was the Bechira they had. See, that was the Bechira. The Bechira was how to view the situation of conquering Eretz Yisrael at that moment. The Bechira was, you can get caught up under the sway of the practical and start hesitating, you see, or you could see the real view, the metaphysical view, and the practical in its place. We're always in favor of the practical. But we have a metaphysical underpinning. So that was the Bechira. To do it, why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that it was not easy. It was not an easy thing. A nation that's enslaved, subordinated to everybody, now to go and do battle with powerful people and to subdue them, to think that it was a very difficult thing to do. But that was their Bechira. That wasn't in the science, you see. They could have come through with flying colors if they would have not lost sight of the metaphysics. They got caught up in the practice. But what happened after that? After that, the decree was given. The decree was given. Then already, now they want to avoid the decree. That's not the same thing anymore. That's not the same thing. Do tshuva now? You can't do tshuva now. You had the situation before where you were wrestling with those two forces, those two elements, and you could have made a decision. But now you can't. You lost over there, so now you're away. And now what happens is now you have the fear of the decree. So now you can't do a tshuva shlem anymore. It's not the situation is not there anymore. not always easy for a person to do tshuva.
Just do tshuva, yeah.
Sounds easy. But it's not hashivein or a shemelachman or tshuva means it's not easy. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to create the opportunity.